KVOE, live and local, presents City Commission Candidate Spotlights. Brought to you by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial. Repairs for your RV for over 26 years. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. And by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424-226.
Welcome back to Candidate Spotlight on KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com, live and local. We're pleased to have with us as our guest here today, Denise Gilligan, as we talk about her city commission run again. Candidate Spotlight's here this election cycle, and the way it is going forward, we'll be doing one-on-one interviews with our candidates, getting their thoughts on the main issues of the day. And Denise, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Doing quite well, Chuck.
Good. What prompted you to run for Emporia City Commission as opposed to maybe another position or maybe another election cycle?
Well, I think mostly overall, we're just in a time where there's a lot going on politically, and the best way to serve is to get involved at your community level. It's the best way to get started. It's the best way to make change. And you can't keep saying, oh, I wish this was different, if you're not willing to help change it. So, my family has a legacy of community service. I thought this was the time to throw my hat in the ring just to see how it goes, be willing to serve, be willing to help us lead in a new direction and weather the coming years.
Speaking of that, your family's well known here. Did you kind of feel an obligation to maybe run, or did you feel kind of a pull on your own?
More a pull on my own. Okay. I think, I grew up with that community. We are a family that gives back. It's important to give back, and you can't always give back financially. So we were a family that gave back in our time and our talents, and that's what we really focused on. And I try to continue to live that to this day.
Talk about your career and how that's kind of set you up here for this run for political office.
So I have a pretty varied past career-wise. It took me a while to figure out where my groove was. I got my first degree from the University of St. Mary in Leavenworth in theater, and then went and worked in hospitality industry management, and then I worked in the commercial painting field for a while in inventory control before I decided I really wanted to be a teacher. And so, of course, as an Emporia native, I came back to Emporia State to get that teaching degree and taught high school for a while before transitioning to the secondary level, to the post-higher ed level at Flint Hills Technical College. And I now serve in their role as Director of Institutional Effectiveness. And what that title means is that I spend my days digging into data and writing a lot of reports and identifying, hey, where can we be better? We're never going to be perfect, but what are we doing really well that we want to maintain and support? And where are the places that we can make a difference and change and improve? And I will bring that curiosity and that research element to any role that I may or may not be elected into.
Speaking of that, I think that particular position, and I think a lot of people would agree, that would give you a unique perspective on looking at budget specifically or possible other ways to find efficiencies and things like that. How else did your other positions maybe help bolster your run and give you the experience you feel will be effective?
I mean, a lot of it comes from just being a student of the world. I believe in lifelong learning. I believe in voting. One of my big things this year is that I really hope that we have a greater turnout for our local election than we've had in the past. It's traditionally a low turnout, and no matter what candidate somebody supports, I hope that gets them to the polls this year. I hope that they take an invested interest in our community. That background of caring about that, caring about politics, being interested, and just being curious about the world I live in and the things going on around me is really what drives that kind of background.
Denise Gilligan joining us here on the Candidate Spotlight today. And now that the introductories have been handled, let us dive into our topics. And as usual here, we're going to be talking about city finances, specifically property taxes, business partners and economic development partners, plus housing, and also the half percentage sales tax that city commissioners have started talking about as a possibility here for funding certain aspects of city government. And we're kind of bracketing things here. We're starting with taxes and ending with taxes here if the interview goes as planned. And we are going to start on the property taxes side because clearly there's I think, an undercurrent, a groundswell, that property taxes are too high. It may not matter where you live, but certainly in Emporia, there's information that shows that Emporia is at or near the top of similar-sized cities with property tax numbers. Why do you think the property taxes are as high as they are, at least here locally?
And I'll be honest with you, that's one of those areas that I'm going to have to do a lot more research and a lot more getting into as to, I've heard talk about the coming together, the overlapping of certain elements of the taxing authority. We've had kind of a 1-2 punch where we've had a huge increase in property appraisals in the last 5 years, which does not help that tax situation. And so I think that those two things have really brought this to the forefront more than anything. It's hard, it's a balance because we can't not tax, because I'm pretty sure none of us want to live where we have a main break on our major water main every year. We want to make sure that our water, we have great water, we're award-winning, but if it's not getting to our houses reliably, that's not good. If our storm sewers are constantly backing up, causing extreme flooding, like we've seen in many communities because of the change in the weather patterns, that's not good. We need to have roads and bridges that function well. So we have to balance all of those things. We have to be able to. And sadly, we kicked that can down the road for 20 years. We did not invest or reinvest in our infrastructure for 20 years, and now we're paying that price. And it's not great. But I think there is a way to be fiscally conservative and still address those things. And it's a balance. And I think we haven't found that balance yet. I think that's something that requires a lot of in-depth, really digging in, laying out a 5 or 10 year plan in which we're investing a little bit each year and addressing certain things each year, but then having that set aside for that emergency that may happen, like we had in, 2018, when the big one broke. So I think that, yes, we want to get those taxes under control. We absolutely have to get those taxes under control. But we cannot reduce our taxes so much that we can't take care of our town. It has to be a give and take, and we have to find that balance. It's not going to be an easy solution.
Do you agree with the City Commission's request on the Joint Task Force? Because I know that developed, and once it got outside of the City Commission chambers, it pretty much died when it went in front of the Lyon County Commission, USD 253, Emporia Public Schools, and Emporia Recreation Commission. Do you believe, though, that the city was doing its due diligence in bringing those other entities to the table?
I wasn't in on that, so I don't know exactly how that all went down, but I think building bridges between those groups is absolutely essential. Whether or not a task force and looking at those taxes could make a difference in the individual rates, that I'm not sure of. But having conversations with our community partners is absolutely the responsibility of the commission, but it has to be bridge building, not dictating.
Along that line, is this a time in your perspective, and I know you want to do some more research on the topic, but would this be a time for the city to basically strike out on its own to take some steps to reduce property taxes? And what are your early thoughts on how the city can bring property taxes down?
I would say, well, yes, at any given time, we should be looking at that. That should always be, there's that train of thought that it's like, oh, if we have a surplus, we want to hoard that. Well, that's not, a city government isn't about being profitable. A city government is about addressing the needs of the community, filling the needs of the community, and it should be kind of a, budget zero, So it's like we should be allocating our money. And if we have those extras, then maybe we do need to reinvest and scale back a little bit and figure out how to better balance that budget so that we are not increasing those taxes constantly, because we should be able to operate within the bounds of the taxes we're getting. If we are investing in our city and we have people coming in and we have businesses coming in and we have people buying houses, that should sustain us. We should be able to scale back, because the increase in those markets would then increase the tax base. So, it's that balance. And we're going to have lean years where we have, like we have right now, where we have businesses exiting the community. We have people that are exiting the community out of our housing market, or our housing market doesn't have a lot available. And so it's going to be tighter, but then we're going to go back to those years where we have a bigger base and we have more taxes, and we should adjust accordingly as we need to.
Okay, Denise Gilligan joining us here on the Candidate Spotlight here today, shifting over to another economic development topic, and this is led by the RDA, but also involves different economic partners like Emporia Enterprises, Emporia Area Chamber of Commerce, Emporia Main Street. You could also include Flint Hills Technical College and Emporia State in the conversation really over the last year. I want to focus on the RDA because it's been, you know, part of the a significant part of the headlines over the last 15 months. And specifically with the search for the president still ongoing, given the length of the search since early last year, but also given the recent restructuring of the board and its voting membership, do you think that the search is at a suitable spot, or should it have been advanced and possibly filled by now?
From a community perspective, it absolutely should be filled by now. I think the board has created a situation in which it's an all-or-nothing play, which is just not effective. If 70% of the board could get behind a candidate, then we should have hired that candidate the first time or the second time, or I think third time. I'm not sure what we're up to. Because fundamentally what it comes down to is that the longer this search goes on and the more chaos around this topic, what regional development business that looks at our community is going to go, oh, they have their stuff together? We're not creating a good picture for our community by infighting, by not coming to the table to make a consensus agreement. Is it going to be perfect for every person? No. Is it going to be perfect for every entity? No. But you know what? That's never going to be achievable. We need to find the solution that works now and helps us move forward. Because as long as we keep kicking this down the road, we're not going to move forward. We're going to sit still because while the people who have filled in have been admirable, they have done a great job to the best of their abilities, they are also limited in their ability to help us move forward. So we need to have those people in place that have that ability to help us have those conversations. We have lost some major employers in this town. We need to get more in. We need to be recruiting. We need people who are having those conversations regularly as part of their daily activities, as part of their job. And that requires us making decisions and being leaders. And sometimes being leaders means not making the decision you want, but making the decision that has to be made to the best of your ability at this moment.
As far as the restructuring is concerned, and specifically adding the Tech College ESU as voting members, expanding some voting membership as well, do you believe that was necessary for the RDA's board specifically?
I would say that I have not been involved enough with the RDA board to really be able to answer that one way or the other. I think, you know, expanding the membership might have brought in some different perspectives and different voices, which I never think is a bad thing in conversations. But it does not seem to have been able to help move the needle at all, which then thus doesn't solve the actual problem. And I think fundamentally that's what we still haven't really drilled down to as a community is what is this barrier? What is the problem that we have, you know, the problem that we're identifying? And then what is the desired outcome we're trying to reach? Because right now what I think is we have too many people who have a different desired outcome, and we have not come to an agreement as groups, as a community, as entities, as a board, to decide what's the thing that's going to get us closest to this agreeable to all of us desired outcome. I think we have too many people that are trying to get to their own desired outcome, and so we're not coming to a consensus, and we're not moving forward, and we're just sitting still and having the same conversations instead of saying, hey, you know what, let's give it a shot. Let's do this. 70% of us can get behind this. Let's move this forward. And you know what? In a year, if it doesn't work, we can change it. If it doesn't work in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, this doesn't lock us in. But we're acting like this is something that we're going to have to do forever and ever. Make a decision, deal with the consequences and the outcomes, make another decision if we have to.
Really quickly, before we wrap up our first segment here on the Candidate Spotlight, the RDA has been focused for, I think, its entire existence, correct me if I'm wrong on this, on middle-sized industry, large-scale industry.
Mm-hmm.
What business sector should the RDA really be targeting here as things evolve over maybe the next 5 to 10 years?
All of them.
All of them, okay.
We talk about the heydays of Emporia, Kansas, and the big businesses of Emporia, Kansas. Most of them were locally grown. Most of them were local businesses that grew and scaled and then sold to other companies outside of Emporia, right? We, as a community, need to be focused on all of that. We can't limit ourselves. We're not a big community. We're not huge. We're not Kansas City. We're not Topeka. We are Emporia, Kansas. We have a lot of great things. Intersection of the highways. We have access to the rail system. We have a lot of things that make us super desirable. But we have got to market to both small and big. We have to be looking at that. And if the RDA doesn't have the infrastructure to support that small, then that's where they should be working with those community partners that do. And then if those community partners get those small scale, you know, like dynamic disc, then the RDA comes in and helps them scale up. So one way or the other, those pathways, those, you know, different ways that we can work together as a community to support that small business endeavor that then scales up to a midsize and the RDA helps them scale up and scale up and scale up. That's what we want. That's what we want to work. That's what we need to see happen in our community.
City Commission candidate Denise Gilligan, our candidate spotlight guest here this morning. More of the candidate spotlight after this on KVOE at KVOE.com.
Make the educated choice when it comes to your vote. Emporia State Federal Credit Union is the sponsor of this year's Candidate Spotlight. These one-on-one interviews give you a chance to hear the thoughts of each candidate as they relate to the pressing issues affecting our community. Then be sure to head to the polls on Tuesday, November 4th to make your voice count. Emporia State Federal Credit Union, with two convenient locations in Emporia, is here for all your financial needs.
This is Allison of Mel's Tire. We offer a full line of Yokohama tires. Yokohama Geolander AT4, Yokohama Geolander MTG003, and the Yokohama Avid Ascend LX. So whether you're on or off-road, Yokohama tires will get you where you're going safely. And while you're here for tires, we can service your vehicle as well. Our experienced certified staff can handle repairs, including brakes, shocks, tune-ups, alignments, and more. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham, your Yokohama dealer. Where service isn't expensive, it's priceless.
The RV dock is ready to winterize your RV or fifth wheel. Don't get caught with frozen water lines when the RV dock is here to help. He'll drain and blow out the lines, as well as remove water filters and add antifreeze. Now is also a great time to take care of any other repairs that may need done. Call the RV dock for an appointment today. 342-0702, 342-0702, and get winterized.
KVOE's Candidate Spotlight continuing here this morning. Denise Gilligan joining us, very generous with her time here today as we get her thoughts on the main issues here of the day. We're going to shift to housing now. As earlier this program, we had a chance to talk about property taxes and really the direction forward for the Regional Development Association of East Central Kansas. The city right now, when it comes to housing, there's a couple of major projects that are underway now with Metropolis and Lockwood. Mm-hmm. There's conversations still ongoing with Cedarbrook Meadows out in Northwest Emporia and Kretzinger, which actually came off the table here in September. So I guess, what do you see here as the need for new homes / apartments versus maybe the same time a year ago?
Well, the thing about housing is that sometimes we have to take a step back and look at that kind of longer longevity view. And if you look at housing data in any community, you go through, it's cyclical. We will go through a period where we have a surplus market and appraisals will stay low because housing market prices are stable or they're not rising. And you'll go through that period, but then you will, shift into where you have a dearth because it's not profitable to invest in building at that point. So then you shift to the other side where you don't have a large surplus. And so then you're scrambling, you're building, and you have things that are a little bit better or prices that are better. You see appraisals go up. And so, but it comes back around, right? Mm-hmm. We have been investing in our market, which is great. And I think that we need to, but I think that we sometimes don't look at that. What we actually need to address is the city infill. And that is one of those things that, you know, as a community, if you look at our population statistics, we really haven't increased in size all that much. We've been pretty consistent over the last 30 to 40 years in our population. And the difference is in the style of homes that we have now, where we don't have as many of those quintessential, what you would call nuclear homes. We have a lot more, you know, variety of how people are living today. And so, you know, we need that housing market as that flux. But we also need to remember that if we continue building on the outskirts of our town, what happens in the middle of your town is what happens in most big cities. And we see properties become derelict. It becomes high crime areas. It becomes neglected. We have issues with, you know, all kinds of things. And so when we're talking about housing, we can't just look at new. We have to look at infill. We have to look at making sure that we are holding landlords accountable for the properties that they own. We have to make sure that we're following through on making sure that we do not have substandard housing that our students are moving into or new workers who are coming into our community, because that's not the reputation we want as a community. We want people who are coming into our community and talking about how it's great, you know, that rent's reasonable, that rent for a nice apartment that is not questionable is reasonable for a student to move into or a new employee who's just getting started in our market. So we have to look at all of those things. A lot of times we get really focused on one thing or another because that's what is right there at top of mind at that moment. But the reality is that if we're only focusing on that, then we're going to let the other thing slide, and we're going to end up in a situation that we had in the late 80s and 90s that my mom worked very hard to deal with, where we had a lot of properties that were very substandard in Emporia. We've seen over the last 20 years how several of those properties, you know, we've been able to clean them up or clear them out, and we've redeveloped several of those, and that's been really good for our community. So it's got to be a balance. We got to do both. We got to build and build on the outskirts where we have the room to build, because, you know, we only have so many places. But we also need to make sure that we're building infill, and we need to make sure that we're taking those properties and either rehabbing them or getting them torn down and getting new properties built there, so that we continue to have that thriving community center. That's why people love this town. You know, that's why they want to be here. They want to be downtown. They want to be on Main Street. You know, they love being a part of the community. That only works if we continue to focus on all of those things.
How do you wind up generating interest in infill? Because it does seem like the larger scale projects are in areas maybe not completely out of the city, or, you know, like at the edges of the city, they're close. So how do you wind up getting developers to maybe take a look at some what likely will be smaller numbers of homes, smaller developments in the city's core?
I mean, I think there's a couple of different ways that you can do that. But I know that, like, one of the things I know is that Jeff Lynch does a really, really great job with the incentivization districts that we have in town. And we have several of those. There are several different models. We've got Main Street that has certain areas that they can help invest in or help with grant funding, things like that. We have, but I think, you know, part of that is also the tax incentives. You know, we give big properties, big box stores, you know, tax breaks to come in. Well, you know, can we not use those same kinds of scales, maybe not to the same extent or to the same length, granted, but can we not look at some of those incentives to get people to reinvest in our community center, reinvest in our downtown, reinvest in our housing downtown, and reinvest in that student housing that's so important around the campus?
One other question that comes up on housing before we shift off of this particular topic, and it we mentioned Cedarbrook Meadows, and one of the things with the Cedarbrook Meadows conversation was the disagreement, you could call it, just a difference in opinion would be another way to look at it, at the lot sizes. For Cedarbrook, which is Greenfield, we talk about infill, and there are, for folks that don't know, there are different size standards here in Emporia for infill versus greenfield conversations or developments like Cedarbrook Meadows. Do you see that the relationship between the city and the Planning Commission is still strong, still sturdy, even though some of those conversations came out here earlier this year? Or are there some possibilities that there need to be further conversations here between the two boards as to how to move forward here with these projects?
I would say probably we need to keep having conversations.
Okay.
I think that you always need to build bridges, but I think there is also that reality of, I mean, we're very lucky in America. We have space. That's one of the things that I think people who don't travel outside of the United States don't really have or comprehend the difference of, is that we have that space to have large lot sizes, to have front yards and backyards and this and that. And if you go to other countries, you realize that is not the norm. That's the exception, right? And so, but there's also that reality of if we have a aging retirement community, they don't want to keep, they don't want to take care of lawns. You know, they don't want to take care of all that maintenance. They want something that's more manageable, right? Even young people who are just getting started and don't, they don't want to do all that upkeep. So that reality of we need to be flexible to offer a variety of lot sizes of the types of housing we it's not a one size fits all plan, right? So the having those conversations with the Planning Commission and about the intention of where that market is or what that market is meant for and having, you know, what is it that we're trying to accomplish? Because eventually, you know, we're going to hit America's road. And then, you know, if you look at Gardner, Ottawa, Kansas City, and it's like in the time that I've been alive, how that expansion has just kept going out and out and out, you know, eventually we're going to run out of space, right? So keeping our community thriving with that variety that meets a lot of different needs, I think is one of those things that as a planning commission, I think that's important for them. And I think as a city commission, it's important for us to emphasize and support.
Let's go to the 0.5% sales tax, which again has been at least a episodic conversation point for the city commission as we, you know, kind of loop back to the tax overall conversation that we started with the property taxes. From your perspective, should the city consider a new 0.5% sales tax when it comes to special projects or different funding matters?
If there is a need for that, I would want to know what the specific need we're going to address with it is. For example, I know that in years past, we have done those 0.5% sales tax to reduce specific, like, you know, emergency roads because we needed to get that infrastructure stronger to support the weight of like fire trucks and things like that. So I know that we have done some of those special projects like that. If we have a specific project that we're looking into or a specific thing that we are actually wanting to address, you know, then I think we need to be clear about that. I don't think this is a community that's going to say, oh, no, we don't want you to help our fire department be able to have bays that actually fits fire trucks. You know, we aren't that community. We are a community that supports our government, our emergency services, all of those things. But if we're just saying, hey, we just want a 0.5% sales tax for a special project, that's not going to fly. It's just not going to fly. And it shouldn't fly. We answer to the people, and if we're going to ask for that, we need to know exactly what we're going to be using it for. It should be planned out ahead of time. It should be specific in its nature, and there should be a specific time frame in which that is applied. And when that's done, you know, it's done. It's not just a, hey, we just want to put it in just in case we have something that might come up. It needs to be well thought out, well developed. You know, schools aren't going to ask for us to raise the mill just so that they can, hey, we might build a new school, maybe. So we're going to get some extra money. That's not how this works.
Right.
So I think until I know if there's a specific plan, which right now I haven't heard a specific plan, I would say that, you know, until that's on the table, that would be a different conversation.
Okay, let me give you a couple of potential options.
Okay.
That at least I've understood have been at least maybe not mentioned in public meetings, but at least are possible. One of which would be a near dollar for dollar property tax offset.
Okay.
One would be the possibility of going straight into streets / underground infrastructure / snow removal or some combination of that. Would either of those be something that you would be at least willing to consider?
I mean, I would require a lot more information on how that all would transpire, especially the property, raising tax to offset a tax doesn't. I would need a lot more information on how that would work and who that would apply to and who would benefit the most from that. And then the other one would, you know, if it was specific because we have failing infrastructure that needs to be repaired and we don't have the money, then absolutely. But we should have that earmarked in our budget. That should be planned out for many years. If there's something specific that came up, for example, the massive line that needed to be updated, you know, where we needed to dig up all of Prairie Street to update that, that's something that is exorbitant. It's beyond our normal operating budget. You know, that's that's something special. That, and so if that's the case, if that's something that we're looking at, then that would be a different, then yes, that's something I would definitely look into. But I would want to know exactly, you know, what have we gotten bids on? What are we, you know, what's the cost? Where are we looking at? What do we need to raise? What is the necessity of that extra sales tax before we put it in place?
Okay. Denise, for folks that would like more information about your campaign, your different goals, objectives, your policy points, how do they get that information from you?
So I do have a Facebook page, Denise Gilligan for Emporia City Commission, that you can look up. Following me there. I recommend everybody come out to the League of Women Voters and Chamber Forum, which is on the 6th. I believe that the Emporia Spanish Speakers will also be sponsoring a forum. I believe it's going to be on the 8th. I have not gotten confirmation on that yet. We also have a candidate mixer meet and greet casual at Mulready's Pub this Wednesday, October 1st at 6 p.m. We will have 6 of the 8 candidates there, I believe. So, and it's just a casual, not speeches, not us talking about our flat. Just come meet us, ask questions, get to know us a little bit. We welcome anybody who would like to learn more.
Outstanding. Denise, best of luck here on your city commission run. Really appreciate your time with us here today.
Thank you so much, Chuck. I really appreciate your time.
Denise Gilligan, our city commission candidate spotlight guest on KVUE Live and Local.
Emporia City Commission Candidate Spotlights on KVOE has been brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424226. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. And by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial, repairs for your RV for over 26 years. KVOE, live and local.